Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Jeez. Block Talk is being quite difficult tonight.
Really? Block Talk, y'all need to get it together. We up in the house. We veterans out there. You better come on with it. Good evening, family. Welcome to Shoebox Talk. We are up in here this evening. First of all, hi, Kim. How you been?
I've been good. Busy as a dog chasing his own tail. with me tied to it. I'm here. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm excited. It's good to be back on air.
That's right. We coming up on the holidays, too. I'm hanging on in here. I've been getting my tail kicked with my personal trainer. Trying to get, I got some fitness goals I'm trying to work on before, you know, February of 2020. So I'm up in here. But I'm excited, too, that we back. We got some big things going down with in 2020 for HubNet Online Radio. So to all the listeners, y'all tune in. Stay, just continue to rock with us. We're gonna do some things in 2020, God willing.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some difficulties last week. We might get back into it because there's a lot of people that's wanting to talk about some things that's going on in the NBA as well as the NFL. And then there's something also some buzz going on about some boxing, a boxing tournament that, I mean, I don't know if it was on HBO where somebody just had a big fight and there's an upcoming fight going down. So it was some dialogue about that and stuff. So we're going to touch bases here shortly. Again, we had some difficulties last week with Blog Talk to talk about sports and everything. But anyway, so we're going to update. We're talking about what we're talking about tonight. HubNet News. We got some stuff going on in these here United States, huh?
The United States of America.
What's up,
Dave?
Hey.
Darius
is stuck up in here. Oh,
yeah.
You know I'll never miss the show on a Wednesday.
I know that's right. We appreciate you, too.
I should say double standard America.
I heard you chime in on that one. What is going on? I'm going to let you start, Darius. What is going on? What's the top hot news that you just busting at the seams to let everybody know?
Well, you want to start with 45 or you want to start with that the white woman that killed the black man?
The wife wanted to kill the black man. Come on with it.
The white officer that went to the black man's apartment, I think, in Texas, and they gave her 10 years.
Right.
They should have gave her the life or death penalty.
That was going to be my story.
Okay. I'll let you do that.
You already brought it up.
Well, I am angry. And what I've heard, I've seen on social media, and people, some I brought up in my Sunday school class, that was like a good act of forgiveness. I said, I want to say no. That ain't no forgiveness to me. That's like shaming the white devil. Ain't no way I'd hug a white person that killed a family member. Ain't no way.
So I addressed it. I brought the conversation up because I've seen it. Somebody always sending me something every day, and I'd be trying to keep up with it so I could put it together for whatever show we're going to have. But anyway, somebody sent me the link to this. I seen the officer combing her hair, but I didn't see the judge get up and do what she did. So they sent me a link of that, and I thought to myself, man, first of all, naturally I go and research. This judge should have accused herself. She should have removed herself. She was too involved with the police. What is it that she's involved with? On the board of the police officers, something in regard to this girl's precinct or whatever. So,
she does.
I actually thought somebody mentioned to me that they thought that the judge was gonna do away with the 10-year sentence. You know, was gonna get her off. You know, let her slide. I just think that. I had this conversation. Shout out to Pastor Don D. Townsend, our network pastor. We had a conversation about this. It's great to forgive, but the young man on there was talking about in regards to what his brother would have wanted, and all that. I think it was too much, and I think that there's a lot of people was using terminology like coonery. People using terminology like Uncle Tom and There was some white people in the court.
Willie Lynch.
Right.
There was some Lynch.
There were some white people in the court. I didn't see none of them getting up consoling this lady. Of course, the media only lets you see so much. But that was too much on our part. And the thing that bothered me the most is I didn't see nobody, and again, we only see what the media allows us to see. I didn't see nobody comforting the mom of this person that got killed. The family members that lost a brother, a son, or a boyfriend, or whatever their relationship was, a cousin. I didn't see anybody consoling this family. That's what bothered me the most.
That's a slap in the face.
Right. So now, the social media is a force to be reckoned with, because now they didn't clap back, and this lady is up on here in tears talking about she can't believe how people are being mean and hateful towards her because of her actions. This judge.
Yeah, she's been all over the place.
Yeah.
That was one of the clips, her clip from CNN I wanted to play, but the assistant is acting a little goofy. But, of course, she said followed her faith. And, you know, and the Bible says to do what she did. Okay. Whatever. I don't have it in me.
Did she do it? Why her, though? Is that something she does to all of her people?
Apparently not.
If it comes before her?
Apparently not. And,
right.
To your earlier point, Pastor Dante, and his show on Sunday was pre-recorded, but in the closing 10 minutes, he and I discussed it. And, I struggled with it. You know, I struggled with the task of not criticizing the son, the brother of the victim. Because I feel it's not my place to say how he needs to deal with his grief. You know what I mean? So
right,
if it helps him, cool. I won't criticize him. But Judge Coon and the Coon bailiff, B. Shirley, I will take no quarter. I have no sympathy.
Right,
no. I get it. I get the will to want to feel sympathy for this killer. This killer, because that's what she is.
Murderer.
This murderer, this Terminator with a badge.
Right.
I get that you know, since they're all in the justice system, the bailiff probably knew her, because I'm sure the bailiff ain't gonna go walking around brushing white women's hair all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe this is me when I seen the bailiff doing her hair. I thought to myself, there's a boundary problem here. First of all, if I was a white lady, regardless of what I was going through, I would be like, man, can you get up off of me? I don't need you to be combing my hair.
Well, no. When you're in that situation, you want it and you need it. Because this was doing sympathy. Listen, you'll be happy for somebody to come pat you in the ass cheeks. When you are in sentencing and you don't know what you're about to get, and then when you find out what you're about to get, you a damn cockroach walking across your kneecap is a friend at that point. So trust me, I get that. As far as the little white girl looking for any human compassion, because, just playing devil's advocate, it's quite possible there's some remorse on her end. And through point A into point B, she realized, damn, I messed up. I did something terrible. I destroyed somebody's life and the lives of others. So it could hit her. Mm-hmm. But I'm being honest with you, I don't have the human capacity to forgive her. I have no problem with admitting that. I no longer struggle with that, because history keeps telling me that these white folks are going to keep killing us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And I can't stop and keep giving passes. We forgive, ain't going to do nothing but keep putting my people in the hole. Because
I'm
if it was up to me,
I'm of the mindset that if the tables was turned and it was a black woman who shot a white man mistakenly walking into his apartment while he's sitting on the couch eating a bowl of damn cereal after she shot
ice cream
him, she does not offer any kind of assistance. She doesn't offer any kind of assistance to help him. That I'm almost sure that that would be that the black woman would receive the death penalty.
Yep. Why you think I call it double standard America?
Well, what did it for me though was when the prosecutors went back and showed her history on Twitter. Showed her open. This happened in court before the sentencing came down. But you got to understand, this woman has had prejudicial and racist views for quite some time. And she's still young. Talking to other officers. You know, remember that list that came out where they tracked, where the independent company tracked all the racist conversations, posts, statements, reshares, retweets of law enforcement nationwide. One of those places was Texas. See, we've been dealing with it here in Philly, but that's because somebody went and grabbed it and focused on Philly, but it happened in Texas. A lot of those dudes running around with badges, with pale skin, don't like people with brown and black skin. And they have a gun on their hip and they hate you. Now I'm not here to bash all cops, but these pale, you know, devils who don't like me because of what I look like. 2020, you don't like me because of what I look like. Not what I've done, not, you know, you just don't like me from my skin tone. And they have a badge. And all they have to do is say, I was afraid for my life, and they get to walk free. Hell no, there ain't no sympathy for me.
No,
I hope big Kiki, Buquisha and all them, and Jim Pop, I hope they pay her ass a visit with a goddamn broom handle every night. Every night. I hope somebody make her see somebody bitch.
We need prayer. Father Jesus, we need prayer. Yeah.
I don't need no prayer. I want justice.
This is my whole thing about it, and it just perpetuated it more when we as a people acted the way we acted. I was initially just focused on the fact that she only got 10 years. And then when somebody sent me those links, I was done after that. I was like, okay, I can't watch. I don't want to even hear the watch the or sentences or whatever. That's why I didn't see the stuff. I just said, no, I don't even want to focus on that. 10 years that I was in my feelings about that. And then somebody sent me the link of the judge. I said, okay, now this just makes the situation even worse. As a people, and I said this in the group, I said this to Dante, we cannot move forward without the coonery and all the Uncle Tom until we as a people start loving, we hate each other. That's why she did not console the mama and the family. And she chose to console this coworker or this, African American black folks, whatever you want to call us, we do not love each other like that. And when I say we, I don't mean all. The majority of us would, if the tables was turned, we'd have been like, we're so immune and used to us going to jail that we have self-hate. And until we get past that and start working on that, we are not, the Uncle Tom and the coonery is going to continue. We have chosen to go and console and be a part of other. Check out, you got a lot of people not even wanting to, that's dating outside of their race. Just a lot of black people just not, you know, working on us as a race and have checked out of, they can never check out of being black quite naturally, but have checked out of that whole, let's work on us mindset. Nobody wants to do it. We just, you know, we just are a race of people that has chosen to date outside of our race, to have kids outside of our race, to not value who we are as a people altogether. And you see it little, it's subtle, and you see it all over the world, all over the, definitely, I don't need to speak for the United States, all over the United States. So this is just one more thing that is, I'm just going to conclude with this. This is just one more thing that is, we're going to be immune to. It's just one more thing that, I don't know if the judge and the bailiff think that all white people or pale people are, what do you call it, in love with them for their actions. They probably was looking at the TV, and God forgive me for speaking this way, but they was probably looking at the TV like, look at these niggas here. Look at these niggas here in authority, Uncle Tom, and are doing what, you know, all up on this white police officer. I don't think they was, I don't think they was pleased about that at all, to be honest.
Oh, I know it.
Oh,
so,
yeah, but
at any rate, and that's Texas.
Yeah, the media tried to spin it, you know, as this feel good kumbaya. We need more love moment.
You know, the tone of the whole stuff, and I didn't want to watch it. What was everybody so upset and so emotional about? Was it the emotion and the tears was not for the man that died minding his business in his own crib? It seemed like everybody was so, that part of the situation was buried because everybody was so up in roars about this police officer being held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't watch it. I'm like, these motherfuckers here, we're losing sight of what this, there's a grown ass man that got killed in his apartment minding his own business, and all we could be focused on is the white woman that killed him is going to jail? I couldn't watch it.
She should have got death penalty.
I couldn't watch it. So,
yeah.
It's just, I mean, and a lot of black people feel like, well, they ain't surprised. Number one, they wasn't surprised. The part that enraged everybody was the coonery with the black folks up in the courtroom. That's what everybody was mad about. So. They're talking about it on social media. They're going to probably be talking about it for a little while longer. Now this lady is coming out. Well, you said she interviewed with CNN, talking about,
yeah,
I can't believe how we doing her and all this kind of thing. So
yeah, you know, first the jurors came out, you know, over the weekend. It was to a black sister and a little white boy. And, you know, they were talking all the, you know, there's no way we could do this. There's no way we could do that. Like, so much sympathy for the killer.
Man.
So it's like, but you know what? Like you said, you know, it's going to get blown over. And this won't be the first, won't be the last, because
right. There's
a lot of us who are still walking around with that slave syndrome. There's still a lot of get out ass people, you know, in our community. So, like I always say, when the revolution comes, that's what I'm using for a shield. So, but what else you got?
Well,
the other thing, the other thing I want to talk about, that now this got me hot. I'm just like, wow. Of course, again, it's racism all over again. Evelyn Lozano.
Mm-hmm.
Evelyn Lozano, in case you don't know, Lozada. Is a reality TV star. Credibility has been shot from her behavior and the way she carries herself in the reality show. She's this bully. She's Puerto Rico, the Puerto Rican descent, and she has in prior to this incident with OG. OG is another. Young lady on the Basketball Housewives, Basketball Wives, that they got into it, and Evelyn Lozano, OG, I don't know what part is she African or where she's from, but I can't. She's American, but she's dark skinned, beautiful black woman. She used to play in the women's football league, right? So So, so she, and Evelyn Lozano, initially, she's new to the show this season, this OG. And her friend, who's Asian, of the Asian descent, pretty nice ladies or whatever on the show. They haven't really been keeping up a lot of mess. Evelyn Lozano decides to pick on the Asian lady and call her Ling Ling on one episode. So why did she do that? Whatever, that's how she do. She pulls a race card, and she has done it before with other people on the show. OG just let her have it. You know, now in the past, Evelyn do that stuff with people, and the women on the show bow down to her and they're afraid of her and all this type of thing. But OG let her know. Not only did she let her know, but she let her know because Evelyn was acting trifling, doing some gesturing with a private part, talking about she this, she that, or whatever. And OG let her know, well, back when you thought you had a fiance and a husband, Chad Ochocinco, he was trying to holler at me. All hell broke loose after that. You know, it's sad to say that a man between these two women is what really set it off. But so Evelyn Lozano decided to go get some old text message. Now we talking about it's so embarrassing that we got grown ass women acting this way over a man that ain't even thinking about either one of them.
Watching reality shows.
OG is dating engaged to somebody else, and I don't know who Evelyn's dealing with, but Ochocinco ain't been a factor in years. When we talking about back in 2011, 12, and 13, when Evelyn was married to this dude, and when old girl was with Ochocinco, she had all kind of messages. And I was trying to figure out how in the hell you pull up, I guess in your iCloud, how you pull up messages from 2013 and 11 and 12. But she had the messages ready to go. This dude was trying to holler at her. You know, of course, it's time stamped. And Evelyn had went and print up some Twitter stuff. It was just crazy. The point is, Evelyn Lozano got exposed. Lozada got exposed for her colorism. So she has called Jennifer on the show, another lady a few years ago, another housewife who was actually married to an NBA player. She has called, told her she was too dark to be wearing blue contact. She then talked about the Asian lady that she looked like she might be mixed with black, called her Ling Ling. And told OG she was ugly and that she looked dirty because of the color of her skin. This was happening the last couple of episodes. So now here goes social media all over again, another race situation, just after the situation with the cops, talking about how, which is true. It's been, everybody known it, but OG is really what put this stuff out there in front. And Evelyn Lozada really showed her ass. So she wants to, because of her behavior, because OG put her on blast and was saying, you're a racist, this and that, she done lost all kind of endorsements and all this kind of stuff. So now she wants to sue OG for defamation of character. Not going to happen. OG's attorney was like, not going to happen, especially when You have throughout the years, you have called Ochocinco on when she was engaged to him, called him blue black on Twitter. So if anybody needs to be sued, it needs to be you. So at any rate, this is the thing. This is what a lot of people are saying that Evelyn Lozano, now she's calling herself Afro Hispanic. Afro Latina, right now she's calling. She's gonna have, you know, Puerto Rican as black in it, but they were saying that she's not fully black and she used the N word like it's nothing. Of course, Fat Joe came out and spoke, said I feel like I'm black, and I had said this long time ago. I got Puerto Ricans in my family, but I had said this long time ago when Jennifer Lopez was rapping on the song with LL Cool J talking about nigga this and nigga that. You know, a lot of black people feel like, oh, when you can go back and forth. Now, after shortly after that, Jennifer Lopez stopped dealing with brothers like that, and went back to her her roots, married had babies with somebody that's Puerto Rico now, getting ready or have already married the baseball player, right?
Yep.
A lot of black people feel like they can, you know, they feel the same thing with on the East Coast, and they're right about this. They were talking about it on social media. They brought it out that on the East Coast, if you down south, you don't know this, but on the East Coast, Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and all the different nationalities, they may have a small percentage of black in them, use the N word more so than niggas, than real black, 100% black people do. My nigga this, my nigga that, Dominicans. You know, Dominicans look black, but they speak Spanish. They're Puerto Ricans look black; they have African in them. But the social media, well, you can go back and forth. You know, they speak in Spanish, and the next minute they talking about nigga this, nigga that. So, that's pretty much what's happening as far as racism. It's like every month or every week. Is something going on about racism in this country? Every week is something. If the stupid ass president ain't saying stuff or something, fucking people to do stuff, we are, as a people on social media, is constantly talking about. So the issue here is Evelyn is not, she is not fully black to be sitting up being a colorist. Colorist meaning that she is. Making reference to and call OG a monkey. Just that happened today on Twitter.
Well, all right.
Are the two things I want to talk about. This right here with Evan Lozano, I'm just like, man, I don't know what to say.
She's been getting away with this for a while, with the race baiting and stuff like that. Now, here's my thing. I'm going to follow Shawnee O'Neal's lead, which is their boss and the creator of the show. Stop being so invested. This is just a reality show. It's for entertainment. Mm-hmm. And
but they pay.
I kind of learned that. Yes. Again, we got to remember Jerry Springer shit. People get on their like an absolute ass for a paycheck. So everything you see, just assume it's fake. It's no different than Love and Hip Hop. You know, so it's all the same crap, all on the same parent network, Viacom, where there's MTV, BET, VH1, it's all coonery and buffoonery. Okay, so it is my issue. With the young people who are so up in arms, because I've seen people on Instagram cussing this chick out, right? But then turn around, and the next video I see of them is with Cardi B. How many times did Cardi B get into a beef with a dark skinned sister and she became an ape or a monkey? How many times did Cardi B sit there and she wants to be pretending she's black until it's somebody black coming at her ass? That's when they're black bitches. That's when they're monkeys. That's when they're apes. That's when they're gorillas. That's when they're built like big black refrigerators. Oh, I remember all that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the sister. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name. The sister that owns the Shade Room. The CEO of the Shade Room. She posted that stuff about Cardi and her husband. Cardi went live and went nuts. But when TMZ posted the same exact story, she posted something about Harvey and then deleted it. There was no talk about him, calling him out his name or nothing. But you and her sister went to post a picture of the heavyset owner because she's on the heavy side. So they're calling her Big Black Refrigerator. They're calling her, she looks like a monkey, a baboon. You see,
really?
My issue isn't with these mentally insufficient bitches. My issue is with the supporters who support these mentally insufficient heifers. If y'all gonna go after one, go after all of them. because they're talking about your sisters.
We don't love each other
don't
like
just
that.
Sit,
we don't love each other like that.
It's lack of knowledge of self. Because when you don't have knowledge of self, you're susceptible and open to believing, accepting, and participating in any form of fuckery. And that's what you got here. I get if you're going to come out, and we should hold Shawnee accountable too. And we get that you're the boss. But guess what, sis? Stop trying to play the middle. Stop trying to defend this chick.
And this is my thing. I look at it differently. I disagree with you on some part of that because I feel like even though in this time and age this is a reality show and it's entertainment, it is something that our young generation, this is what to them it is not. And they look at it, there is a point. That girl is entertainment, the show. But what the incident that happened was an entertainment. It was how she really felt. And her calling somebody a monkey because of the color of her skin was not entertainment. She actually feels that way.
I believe you.
She did that, what started it off. So because of that, that wasn't scripted. That wasn't something that to get ratings up. This girl has a history of calling people up out their name based on their skin color. That's an issue for me. And though it's a reality show, there's real issues that come up on these reality shows that these kids take to heart.
But here's the part, this is the part where we don't know what's scripted and what's not. What you see on these shows happened months ago, right? All the stuff you see on them shows happened months ago. I think they're either about to do, they're pre-taped. So it's either at the end of the season. I mean, I think they're like recording live somewhere in some studio audience. The part at the end where they sit down and had a conversation at the end of the season. I think they're doing actually that part now, because I'm seeing a lot of that.
The reunion show.
Yeah, the reunion shows is coming up. So when we look at these things, we're seeing a lot of, we're seeing a lot of stuff that we're reacting to now, but it's been dealt with and squashed. But yet and still, we still see them talk about it on social media. It's to drive you back and forth to the show. These people are always working the angle. That's just the way it works. If it's on Love and Hip Hop and all these other nonsense shows, I don't feed because I know they get the check. That's just the way it is.
That's blood money.
You may be right in regards to the timeline, but it still happens. Regardless if they had the reunion show or it happened 3-4 months ago, it still happened. We just now talking about it. It still happened. And it brings up, and stuff like this brings up a topic because once again it's racism. It really is. And you got a lot of people who this girl done lost endorsements. You got a lot of people that, you know, that choose sides because of this. It's a lot of times these reality shows or just things on TV, period, like this new show that my boy Tyler Perry's coming out with, The Oval. I cannot wait to see it. Those are scripted shows. This is a white president and a black with a black wife. A lot of the stuff on TV, reality or not, is speaking to reality. That the things that's going on in our culture today, regardless if it was a couple of months ago or not. Just like you said with Cardi B. You know, colorism is real, regardless if it happened a couple of months ago or not. And this chick, they're filming the reunion show now, but back a couple of months ago when she was calling people monkeys, what we're seeing on Twitter and shit now from what happened a couple of months ago is actively happening now. She called that girl a monkey.
I understand, but what I'm trying to tell you is they're paid to do that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Just don't believe what your eyes is telling you with reality stars. I believe you. She believes what she says. You can't be doing it that much and not believe it unless they're cutting you a check. She's only worth $2 million. That's her net worth. But
who?
The piece of trash you're talking about. Who's calling people monkeys? I don't remember. I forgot her name that fast because, be honest with you, she's nothing to me. But she's worth $2 million. Mm. That's her estimated net worth. Because she's made a history of doing this. And she's been known for this. Like you said, the Ocho Cinco thing. So it's like, it is my issue. I'm not going to get too emotionally invested. You know why? Because I know not to watch that bullshit. I'm not going to give Viacom my credit, my money, my time, watching them allow some chick to call our sisters apes and monkeys. It ain't going to happen with me. I'll let everybody else fall into that line. I'm not going to support anybody who's attacking our people. It's just that simple.
For those of us that are, and I hadn't been watching basketball reality show in a while, a couple of years, and there's people who watch it faithfully, it's really touched the nerve. And I understand why.
Here's my thing. What you going to do about it? That's why everybody who are here bitching about this, they said, what you going to do about it? You going to watch it the next time? Come on, ain't you? I want to see, then what are you mad about? That, don't you get it? That was the purpose. It was to excite you so you can tune in.
Yeah.
It's marketing 101. If you want people to tune in, you got to strike a nerve, either a good one or a bad one. Why do you think Trump is the biggest piece of shit? But guess what? When he leaves office, every single cable news network is going to take a hit. You know why? Because it's going to be harder to sell ad dollars.
Well,
because you're either watching them because you love them, or you're watching them because you hate them.
So this is what's happening now. Evelyn Lozano, from 2 months ago, whenever she filmed this or whatever, scripted or not, this feels that there's been some death threats because of people, fans and stuff, taking this stuff very serious. She's trying to file a restraining order against OG. What? I don't know. She's feeling but she was the big bad wolf. See, 2 months ago, a year ago, whatever, regardless of the timeline, Evelyn Lozado was up on reality show busting bottles over people's heads and fighting and throwing tables and climbing up, acting like a monkey her damn self. See? So this right here was just the icing on the cake.
Well, here's my thing. If she filed a temporary restraining order, where's the legal documents?
I don't know. Yeah, it just hit me out a couple of hours before I got on air. I'm just letting you know.
I mean,
reality TV and some of that stuff is real in regards to how they're behaving these days. And they do take it too far. You know, they get all amped up and how the hell somebody had to get a hold to her, because she needed to get on Twitter before you talk to your agent and shit, talking about you filing charges and all this. I mean, filing lawsuits and stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's just, there's a point of what you're talking about in regards to keeping people watching. They got a fan base regardless. They got a fan base.
Yeah.
Regardless of Evelyn calling anybody any kind of monkeys or whatever, people was going to watch regardless.
Yeah, and I will give him credit. She did try to get the restraining order. You know, it's evident that, but the judge said, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Well,
you're the one that needs the restraining order. You're the one that's busting bottles over people's heads and shit. Right.
Man.
So,
I just want
to speak to it. You know, reality TV or not, people look at that stuff. They may be going through it in their own personal life, colorism, or whatever the case may be. You never know what somebody's going through, and it is reality to them. And it's something that needs to be discussed, because you do have people of different descent walking around here saying the N-word.
Like, it ain't nothing. So it brings up what it does, what it did was it brought up the conversation about what we already know that's going on here in real life, which is colorism. You know what I mean? So, at any rate, those are the two stories I wanted to bring up. What you got, Darius?
Well, first, let's see. Since we didn't talk about sports, I'll be in Cleveland Sunday for the game against Seattle. That's number one.
All right.
I will be up there sitting in the dog pound section. I will be there.
Oh man. Darius, you just Lord.
But
I just got a sharp pain.
I said,
that's
the team
won.
I
want
to talk about it on the sports show.
Hey. You still holding out hope for them
B.B.
Browns, huh?
Hey, I was a Browns fan. I'm not no bandwagon. I grew up watching the Browns, my grandfather, until he died 2 years ago, and I got to keep it going.
Hey, man.
I wasn't surprised we got beat like that.
I'm a Saints fan, so I understand. You are.
I'm good.
Right. You jump on the bandwagon.
Let me just talk.
I heard that they won.
When the Browns got OBJ, these flock of new Browns fans came out the woodwork. I said, who are these people? I said, I've watched the last 20 years.
They're his fans. They're not Browns. They're his fans. So when he goes somewhere else, they're going to follow him. But, you know, because he's an incredible talent, you know, that's just the way it is.
Back to serious news. I wanted to say, since the last time we talked, that now they started doing the impeachment inquiry on 45.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I know he's stonewalling everything as usual, not surprising. But now the thing is, he pulled the troops out of, I think, Syria, and then Turkey came in and started attacking. And I'm saying, what in the?
Okay, yeah, I haven't been watching the news. I got to turn
Trump
on CNN. He pulled
troops out of, I think, Syria. And I believe the Turkish soldiers, they came back in. And they're attacking the U.S. Allies now. And I said,
and the same military bases that, you know, that we used to launch our vehicles, our same places where our jets were taken off to defending that area. Keeping, you know, ISIS or whoever out. Trump pulled them off of the front line. And it's been about a day and a half, maybe 2 days tops in Turkey. Started launching planes from the same location we were launching planes. See, what's happening is we've seen this happen in the last election. He finds something that will resonate with his diehard supporters, which is troops. So remember when it was time to do to vote, he started moving troops to the border. Every time you see them, they wrestling with wire and putting up fences and all that stuff, protecting the border because it was an emergency. So here he is, out of nowhere, out of the blue, he pulls the troops back and say, "Well, I campaigned on this. I said I was going to no more wars." Now, what he did was he left the Kurds hanging. And by leaving the Kurds hanging, that's 10,000 ISIS prisoners that they're sitting on, that they're going to have to let go because they don't have the manpower.
Some of the people who
are watching, can you imagine? You're usually watching prisoners, but you're going to have to turn them loose because you got to go to the front line to help fight. So they pretty much abandoned an ally, that is
for
all war. Yeah. You know, so... Yeah, of course this was, you know, this was a well-placed distraction. You know what I mean? Because think about what was happening at the time.
If ISIS prisoners get loose, then what?
Well, I mean, they're just going to join the ones they're already fighting. But remember, what was transpiring at the time of his decision? See,
the impeachment.
The impeachment's been going on for a while now. It wasn't that. It was the fact that Mike Pence's names got dirty. Think about
what
it.
What happened with Mike Pence?
There's more evidence now that says Mike Pence was tied into that. It's more evidence than now tied into to the whole Ukraine situation, the telephone call. When you really
been
watching the news.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
there's
a second whistleblower. They announced
right.
There's a second whistleblower. The next day, Trump pulls the troop off. Now, the second whistleblower has firsthand knowledge. He's seen, heard, or saw with his own two eyes or two ears. And then there's actual documents that says that Mike Pence was aware of what Trump was doing, which is why he didn't attend the new president's thing over there. Like, you know, when you become mayor, they have that big party for your ass. Mike Pence was pulled off of that, and they end up sending some low-level guy. So,
wow.
Yeah, so, it's one thing. And see, here's the thing with Trump. Because if he does get impeached, which he will be impeached, he just won't be removed. And everybody has to understand, impeachment don't mean you're removed.
You're automatically out.
No. Yeah, you got to get at least 60 votes from the Republicans. So it don't work that way.
I've got to see him resign.
Because technically, you got to remember, he's not going to resign because the Senate is in his pocket. And you got to remember, Bill Clinton was impeached. When you look up his history, he is the second impeached president, or the third. I lost track. Yeah, third. But he was acquitted in the Senate because the Democrats was the majority at the time, so they didn't, you know, because remember the House draws up the charges of impeachment, the Senate actually plays the courtroom. That's where you're tried, and Mitch McConnell. He did agree to put it out there, but that don't mean that they're going to, like Lindsey Graham said, there's no way in hell that this Senate is going to impeach this president. We're not going to find him guilty. So you can send it if you want. You just be doing it as a gesture. But he's not going to move.
You know what?
The only way you defeat them idiots is to vote. Vote all them fools out of there next year. That's my thing.
They need to go. They're Republicans.
Vote everybody out. I don't care.
They're sitting up there collecting them big paychecks. They ain't doing nothing.
Hey, that's on our taxpayers.
That's a shame. That's a show enough shame. Wow.
Well,
this country is so screwed up. It's so screwed up.
I don't see whoever the president is going to be next year after this election. Honey, I don't know. What kind of work they gonna have their hands cut out? Cause this is really crazy around here. It's crazy, for real. Yeah, and don't look like it's getting no better.
And plus, they ain't gonna do nothing on gun control. Cause my city had a mass shooting.
When?
No.
They had it the day after the El Paso shooting.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, remember, it was in a 24-hour period. They hit El Paso, then by the next morning, it was Dayton. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Trump came down there for a little 15 minutes for PR purposes. He didn't go down to the Oregon district. He didn't even go down there.
Mm-hmm.
And people were upset.
Do we have any callers, Hakim?
We got some folks listening. If you want to come through, press the number 1. I'll put you right in.
Yeah.
We only have about 5 minutes left, so you want to get a quick statement out on what we discussed tonight, I'd be happy to put you through.
Right. You might have some more knowledge that we don't know about.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to just pivot real quick because there's a story that we have to pay attention to, and I think Black folks should really, really pay attention to, and it's about the China and NBA. And I don't know if anyone's been following that story. NBA.
I've been
have proven themselves to be a bunch of cowardly, sniveling, kowtowing organization that are, and they see it now because their players see it. You know, as of, was this 8 hours ago, all of the NBA's official Chinese partners have suspended ties with the league. So we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars being squashed. They've cut all ties with the Houston Rockets. You know, that's because of Yao Ming. He bridged he bridged things together for that team in China, right? He created some avenues for extra income and stuff for that team. They cut all ties with that. And the reason why I said this and I highlighted black people because, you know, today is the NBA. Tomorrow could be Google. You want to know who's shaking in their booties right now? Apple. Apple has been shaking in their boots for the last 8 months. And anyone who's done their research and followed this story, it's quite possible that those Apple products y'all love so much is going to go through a tailspin in pricing. So, because a majority of the stuff that Apple produces is made in China. And with Trump playing the games with the tariffs, Apple had a big concern. That's why their stock market went up and down. The next thing you know, the new iPhone schematics got leaked out. So what they had to do, they had to literally last minute take them off the presses and change them. So Apple is going through a bad time right now. So now their biggest concern is, what is China going to do to us? So they have to basically bend down and take them little rice noodles up their ass because China's doing whatever the hell they want to do to us. They're making fake iPhones. You know there's fake iPhones on the market made in China? Look just like it.
Wow.
And Apple, and you would think Apple would be speaking up, but they're afraid to. Now, how does it affect us? It's going to affect you in your pocket.
Yeah, tariffs.
The tariffs. And not only just the tariffs, even without the tariffs, if China stops the business end of it, that means they're going to have to go somewhere else to make those phones, where it may cost them more, so it's going to cost you more. So we have to pay attention, especially those of you with 401ks. You know, if you have that good enough job with a 401k and an IRA, anything that your money is levied against the market, you have to pay attention to this stuff because this is your investment. This is your future. And the last thing you want is to find out that one or two of the companies that your 401k is tied to is taking a dip because China's fucking around. So you got to pay attention. Stop watching Love and Hip Hop. Stop watching Basketball Wives and pay attention to the shit that's going to help you in the future or hurt you in the future.
Yeah, like the recession's coming.
Yep.
That's
it's
not
coming.
Good.
So.
This is really, I look at it like this. This is China clapping back for the bullcrap that the president did. I see.
Yeah. Yep. That is pretty much it. But I did want to real quick give for those of you who haven't heard, wanted to give a, you know, you got to recognize Tyler Perry. You know, for his grand opening of Tyler Perry Studios. According to the LA Times, Tyler Perry's new complex is larger than Paramount, Warner Brothers, Walt Disney, Burbank Studios. I mean, he has done something that no other black man has ever done, which means he no longer has to ask big companies to do a movie. He can just wake his ass up tomorrow and say, let me go make a movie. That new series, the Oval, there is the best replica of the White House on his land. I saw the video. I was watching it all weekend. I was watching Will Smith's timeline. I found myself all caught up in all these different stars posting Facebook Lives of their tour. And it is a marvel. It is amazing. And the brother deserves some recognition. And he's hiring black folks. That's what I love so much about him. So that's all I got, y'all. It's the end of the show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're back in here next Wednesday. Thanks for y'all listening. Thanks for calling in, Darius, as usual. And y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Peace, y'all.